Our reading today is Acts 8, verses 26 to 40, page 1101 in your church Bibles. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Good. Well, if you had a Bible there, do you keep that one open? I've got here, now apologies to a couple of people in the room who actually gave this to us. I've got here a plant. Sorry, it's kind of dead. Okay, so this is a plant we were given a while ago, but it's not doing very well. It looks quite green, but if you feel it, it's all quite hard, and the flowers have all gone, they're all a bit dead. Okay, so I've got a question for you. What do you need to do to try and keep a plant alive and growing? What does a plant need? Yes, George? A plant needs water to be alive and growing. What else does a plant need? Sun, is that, Tiago, you said sun, very good, yeah. Anything else that a plant needs?
Love.
Say again? Love. Yeah, that's the problem, you see. No love in our house. Yeah, what else do
you
need?
Nutrients.
Nutrients, yeah, exactly. It needs soil with nutrients, okay? I think they're the key things, aren't they? It needs water, it needs sunshine, and it needs soil rich with lovely nutrients. This plant also needed someone to water it. It needed love, because it's not outside, so it doesn't get the rain, okay? So that's what plants need, isn't it, to grow. Well, we're going to think a little bit about that idea of growing today. Two big questions that we're going to answer, hopefully, from our Bible story that we've just heard. And the first of them is this. How does the church grow? Okay, we just thought about how a plant might grow. How does the church grow? What does the church need? Well, the book of Acts, where our reading came from, it's a history book. It's a history of the very first years of the church, when the church had just started and had just started growing. And right from the start, actually, there were ups and downs for the church. And this big persecution rose against the church in the chapters just before where we read. Followers of Jesus weren't treated very well by other people that they lived alongside. And so lots of them had to run away and escape from the city of Jerusalem, where they lived. The church actually was in a little bit of danger of becoming like my plant. in danger of withering and dying. And if that had happened, well, actually, we wouldn't be here today, would be. There would be no church for us to be part of. But Acts, it is this story of how, despite the difficulties, actually, the church did grow. It became healthy and fruitful. And this afternoon, we get a little snapshot of one little bit of that growth as we zoom right in and we see how one man became a part of the church, became a Christian. Now, we don't get told this man's name in our story, but we learn that he is an Ethiopian eunuch who is in charge of all the Queen of Ethiopia's money. Now, that is a pretty cool job, isn't it? I imagine the Queen of Ethiopia is pretty rich. And his job is he is in charge of all of her money. And in this story, he becomes a Christian. His life is changed by what happens to him, and he goes away rejoicing. And the church, little by little, person by person, continues to grow. So, how does the church grow? Well, the first thing our story shows us is that it's God's work. Okay, so all the way through our story, I don't know if you noticed it when Catherine read it for us, and we're reminded actually God is the one who's kind of pulling the strings like a puppet master behind the scenes. In verse 26, at the start of the story, we're told there was an angel of the Lord who was directing the events. And then we heard that this man was sat there and he got hold of a copy of Isaiah, which is a book from the Bible, and he was reading God's word. And then at verse 29, a little later, we're told the Holy Spirit comes and tells Philip to go up to that man's chariot to help him. Okay, so all the way through, in lots of different ways, we're shown God is at work here. Taking the initiative, arranging the events, causing this man to stop and think because of what he's reading. Which shows us something really important, okay? In terms of the church, we thought, didn't we, what's really important for a plant to grow? And we said sun and water and love. Well, what is it really important for anyone to become a Christian and for the church to keep on growing and being healthy? Well, the most important thing is that God is at work by his Holy Spirit. Actually, God cares more about the growth of his church than any of us do. He is always at work to bring that about, which is really, really good news for us this afternoon. But that's not the only thing we can say in response to that question. God is behind it all, but Philip also had a really important role to play, didn't he? Okay, so how does the church grow? It's God's work as we talk about Jesus. It's God's work as we talk about Jesus. Do you remember what the Holy Spirit said to Philip? He said, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now, that is quite a funny image because that chariot is not standing still, is it? That man is traveling. So Philip sees the chariot. I guess he had to run and catch up the chariot. And then he's running alongside this chariot. And he's kind of looking up and he's working out, what on earth does God want me to do next? I'm just running. He's trying to keep up with the chariot. But then he hears the man in the chariot reading this passage. And Philip thinks, I know what to do. So there he is, he's running alongside still. He's thinking, I can't keep this up for that long. And he shouts out, do you understand what you're reading? And there's a man up in the chariot, and he's a bit confused to hear this voice down there. And he looks down, and he's even more confused. He sees this man running alongside, but he says, well, no. How can I understand what I'm reading unless someone explains it to me? And at that point, Philip, to his great relief, gets invited up into the chariot. And I guess after he got his breath back, he started to explain to the man that passage from Isaiah that he's been reading about. And he explains to the man that passage is about Jesus. He says that all that stuff you're reading about there, that Jesus was the one who was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and Jesus was denied justice by his enemies, and Jesus was the one whose life was taken from him on the cross. But I don't think Philip stops there. Actually, he explains that passage, but then he says, look, actually, there's more. Let me tell you, that little thing you're reading was part of this big plan that God had. Jesus was actually dying for sinners like you and me. And let me tell you, amazingly, Jesus didn't stay dead. He's alive and he's in heaven. You see, once he got his breath back, Philip explained the good news about Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch. And God, amazingly, powerfully, as we've been thinking about, God powerfully used those words to change this man's heart. He says sorry to God, he repents and believes, and he becomes a Christian right there in the chariot. You can become a Christian, you don't need to go to a special place for a Christian. That man becomes a Christian right there, sat in his chariot. And then they spot some water by the side of the road. And so he goes and gets baptized right there by the side of the road as this this outward sign of how he has been washed clean by God and given a new start in life simply because someone was happy to tell him about Jesus. It's an amazing story. Philip was willing to talk about Jesus, and God used that to change this man's life and to grow his church one person at a time. And do you realise you get to play a part in the growth of God's church? If you know Jesus, then you can tell someone else about Jesus. And sometimes we think we have to leave it to the professionals, but Philip wasn't a professional. And maybe we worry that we're not going to know all the answers to people's questions that they might ask us, but I don't think Philip was an expert in the book of Isaiah. But he knew that the Christian message and the Bible was really all about Jesus. And so he just used that bit of the Bible that the man happened to be reading as the start of a conversation about Jesus. And maybe you're thinking, but I don't get angels or the Holy Spirit clearly telling me to go and talk to someone like happened here. But actually, we're not told to expect that to happen the whole time. Even in the book of Acts, most of the time, people just go and talk about Jesus to people that they know and they bump into. Because behind the scenes, they know God is always at work. So I wonder, who do you sit next to at school? Who lives next door to you? Or above you, or below you, or wherever it is you live? Who are the people who live around you? What about your hairdresser? You know, I had a really encouraging conversation a little while ago in the hairdresser because it turned out someone else from church had been to see the same hairdresser and had talked to them about the fact they were a Christian and something of what that meant to them. Wasn't that encouraging? Who do you spend time with each day? Who do you talk to? None of those connections we have with people are by chance. God is at work, growing his church. So we will join him just by being willing to talk about Jesus. Now that is a lot already, isn't it, to think about? But I said earlier there are two big questions that this passage answers. And the second question I think is really important as well, and I love the answer it gives. So actually we're going to think about the second question as well. So that was the first question. How does the church grow? It's God's work as we talk about Jesus. But there's another question, because maybe we're convinced now, okay, yes, I want to go and try and talk to some people about Jesus. But then there's the question, well, what kind of people should I go and talk to? We might say, this is the question, who is the church for? And this story gives us a really brilliant and important answer, because it tells us the church is for anyone from anywhere who trusts in Jesus. So in our story, God deliberately sent Philip somewhere he wouldn't normally go. He sent him down to this desert road down south because God wants him to speak about Jesus with this particular man who happens to be a eunuch. Now, kids, you'll have to ask your parents over dinner what a eunuch is. But but for now, you just need to know that being a eunuch meant you were a bit of an outsider. And so this man, he probably would have been aware of that. He was probably even a little bit sad about it. But as God sends Philip to speak to this man, we see the church is for anyone. However much other people might consider them to be unsuitable or unworthy. And it's for anyone from anywhere. So this man, he lives hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles from Jerusalem, where Jesus was and where the church started. He's a black African man. He's from a totally different culture to the Jews and to Jesus. But that is absolutely fine, because God goes and tells Philip to speak to him, because the church is for anyone from anywhere. Here I've got a globe here. Okay, so this is the world, or a little thing of the world. Okay, it doesn't matter where I put my finger on this globe. Okay, whatever country I put my finger on, there or there or down there, or maybe a tiny, tiny little island over here that people might go to holiday in sometimes. Okay, it doesn't matter where I put my finger. Each time, that is a place where you can find people who Jesus died for and people who God loves to welcome into his church. People from Africa, people from America, people from Asia, even people from a little island up here called Great Britain. You know, sometimes if you're white and British like me, which isn't all of us, but is some of us, we act a bit like Christianity started with us, don't we? Actually, we were latecomers. We were real latecomers compared to many, many Africans and Arabs and Asians and other Europeans. We were latecomers to the party in terms of hearing about and trusting Jesus. But the good news came to even those of us who live on this little island up on the top of the world here, because the church is for anyone from anywhere who trusts in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful news? And as we finish, I just want to show you a photo that I really like. It's from a wedding at a church where Lisa, my wife, and I used to go. We used to be members of this church. And maybe you can spot us there in that crowd if your eyesight is really good. But what I love about this picture is that everyone in this picture is a Christian and members of that church. And yet there are people there from all over the world. Quite a few people who were born and brought up in different countries around the world, but also others who've grown up in this country but whose family roots are elsewhere. And so the couple getting married, Cody, his family from Ghana, and Michaela, her dad is from the Caribbean. Let me just show you a few other people in this photo. So that there, so that arrow, that is Zemi, who's from Nigeria. Next we've got Dev there. Dev's whole family are Hindus from India. That's Richard from South Africa. Jonathan, he's from France. That's Fung, who's from Singapore. There's Israel from Uganda. Hannah, she's from exotic Wales. Charmaine, whose family are Malaysian. Junyi from China. That's Olivier, who's from the Democratic Republic of Congo in Africa. And that's Dan, who's a Korean American. Now, I could show you lots more people in that photo and where they're from. I don't know if you've spotted us yet. There's me, the white Englishman with a little bit of Dutch blood. And there's Lucy, half English, half Indian. Okay, so there is a photo that I love because, well, it's a glorious picture of God's church, full of people from all over the world who've been brought together as brothers and sisters and friends because of Jesus. And we need to make sure, don't we, that our church here reflects that as much as possible. You know, I love there is some diversity amongst us, but there could be more. Plenty of people, probably not people from every nation in the world living in Windsor, but people from quite a lot of nations in the world. So what can we do to make sure that the Windsor Fellowship is a welcoming place for anyone, even those who feel like total outsiders, even those who wouldn't expect to get a warm welcome here on a Sunday or in our homes during the week? What can we make sure this is a place where a warm welcome for anyone from anywhere to come and learn about and follow Jesus? Because, you know, when that's happening, then church becomes a really, really exciting thing to be part of. I'm going to pray now and thank God for everything he's shown us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful story about this Ethiopian man who became a follower of Jesus. Thank you so much that your church really is for anyone from anywhere. Thank you that all of us get to be part of it. And we pray that you would help us, this as a church family here, to be increasingly more and more diverse, full of all sorts of people, all sorts of backgrounds, from all sorts of places, all together following the Lord Jesus. Amen.